GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A government panel on Monday failing to reach consensus on the possible national security risks of a nearly $15 billion proposed deal for Nippon Steel of Japan to buy U.S. steel. That leaves the decision up to President Biden, who has been a longtime opponent of the proposal. On this Christmas Eve, a winter storm moving into the Northeast, bringing ice and snow to several states. Here's ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
Several inches of snow in upstate New York and into northern New England, maybe even up to a half foot of snow. That snow is right to the I-90 corridor by the morning hours. I could see some coatings to maybe an inch all the way down to the coast. We are concerned about winter weather alerts in Philly and Baltimore and D.C. for a glaze of ice, so be super careful with your travel into the morning hours.
In Santa Cruz, California, a man died after he was trapped by a large wave beneath debris on a beach, that amid a major storm that's pummeling the West Coast. 12 people were killed, 4 injured in an explosion in an armament factory in northwest Turkey. This is ABC News. President Biden has 15 days to decide whether to allow Japan to purchase U.S. steel. A government panel on Monday failing to reach consensus on a possible national security risk of the proposed deal worth nearly $15 billion. Both President Biden and President-elect Trump have vowed to block the sale, concerned over foreign ownership of a flagship American company. A high-profile legal proceeding is now officially over.
New Mexico prosecutors are giving up their attempts to revive the involuntary manslaughter case against Alec Baldwin. In July, a judge dismissed charges in the killing of a cinematographer on the set of the film Rust, saying the state withheld evidence which could have helped Baldwin's defense. Prosecutors have now backed off of an appeal due to what they call several barriers. Baldwin's attorneys call the prosecution's move final vindication.
That's ABC's Andrew Dimbert. The Starbucks barista strike now in its fifth and final day. Workers at hundreds of stores across the country are preparing to join in. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. 3 times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm on a little bit of a break, but not to worry. Host of Amicus, Jim Santel, guest host next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon, with a light northerly breeze becoming southwesterly late this afternoon. Tonight down to 16. Tomorrow partly to mostly cloudy for Christmas Day. 32 on Thursday, cloudy afternoon showers with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
On Tuesday's show, we'll start the morning off with Big Wayne and his What's the Buzz segment. Plus, Jim talks about Santa's workshop in his own home.
Lots of family traditions we'll talk about. And you can text in. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Great show, celebrating the holidays.
Don't miss it.
Well, good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farm Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farm Report, we work to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. Today, we'll start by hearing from Wisconsin's Secretary of Agriculture, Randy Romanski, who reflects on how this past year has gone for the ag industry and what's ahead. Then we'll check in with our friends at the Steppes Group for the latest updates in farm auctions and equipment trends. And finally, we'll hear from John Heinberg, Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing, to get the latest on commodity markets and what farmers need to know as they plan for the months ahead. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's dive into another great day here on the Midwest Farm Report.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump, patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Well, it's that time of the year where we like to recap some of the action from 2024 when it comes to Wisconsin agriculture, but really when it comes to the state as a whole. Welcome in. It's fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, along with Wisconsin Secretary of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection. That's Randy Romanski. And we're going to talk quite a scope of responsibilities that the agency has, Randy. And I want to start with going back to almost a full calendar year from today. And that's when we were all elated that we didn't have to worry about ice and we didn't worry about snow. It was a precursor of a wild weather ride that Wisconsin had, because as soon as that winter was finished, then all of a sudden here came the rain.
Yeah, you know, this was several years of seasons in one, right? I mean, early on it was dry, then we got so much rain, and then it finished off really dry again. You know, farmers are so resilient. They go through something every year, right? And we should be so grateful that they are at it every day, you know, sticking with it. And resilience, the word I would use. Yeah, this was a really weird year weather-wise, and I guess they just keep getting weirder and weirder. Yeah,
probably.
But, you know, farmers find a way. And, you know, there are things that are beyond their control, like, you know, markets and prices and things like that. But I tell you, the dedication to effort, the equipment used, the seed, the inputs that go along. I mean, there's always an improvement that helps, you know, the corn grow in a really wet year or a really dry year or whatever the case might be. So, major changes throughout the course of the year. But, you know, thank goodness farmers keep pushing on.
You know, and part of the reason why I bring it up, aside from the obvious, is we also know, as we've learned, especially through the pandemic, farmers are not Teflon. They have challenges themselves. A lot of isolation, working by themselves, neighbors nearby that may not understand what they're doing, and then you compound it with all those uncontrollable issues. The Wisconsin Farm Center has always been there to try to help buffer some of these uncertainties. What are you hearing from your crew at the Wisconsin Farm Center, Randy?
Well, first of all, Pam, we're grateful that we have them. We got a really dedicated team at the Farm Center. I know you've talked to them and get to know them a little bit, but you know, we're fortunate to have them. And we, you know, the Farm Center has been there since the mid '80s, and it's there to be a resource to farmers, and it's well used. But the thing that we were able to do about 5 years ago, and it's because Governor Evers and the legislature agreed on getting some additional funding for mental health programming. And that's really important because we were able to build a program at the Farm Center that gives farmers some services that they might not have had before. And that's mental health vouchers, farmer mental health vouchers. And farmers are using the service. They're making the call. And we want them to know that there's somebody there to talk to them if they're feeling stressed and if they're finding some challenges. And the number of calls this year doubled from last year, and the number last year were already high. So, right. You know, that's a double-edged sword, obviously. I mean, the unfortunate thing is people are feeling that stress, and what we want to tell people is there are resources out there. You know, they're there to be used. It's free and confidential, and people are making the call. And we're, again, I'll end where I started, which is we're grateful to the Farm Center for being there to be that compassionate listening ear, somebody to get them pointed in the right direction.
And I'll remind you again, folks, that if you've never tapped into the Wisconsin Farm Center, the hotline number is 800-942-2474, 800-942-2474. And then the other element that Randy was talking about, the Wisconsin Farmer Wellness Program, that's available 24 hours a day, 888-901-2558. Again, this is the Farmer Wellness Program, available 24/7, 888-901-2558. Let's keep moving. Again, Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, in studio with us. You know, and then we just get into the springtime and we start hearing these stories in other regions about Wisconsin's had its dealings with avian influenza, but then all of a sudden we're getting reports of other regions where it crossed into dairy cattle. What kinds of things went through your office, through your mind, out your mouth at that time, Randy?
Well, a whole lot of communication and partnership. You know, we did a lot to reach out to the industry to listen and also to get their input on things. We've talked to other states. We've talked to USDA all along just to try to make sure that we could, to the best of our ability, stay ahead of this. Because what we're seeing now, especially in California, once it gets in, my goodness, it gets in a bad way. And so big credit to our team in the Division of Animal Health. Dr. Darlene Conkle and her team were really instrumental in making sure that we were communicating with the industry. And Wisconsin put a few things in place early on, I think, that have helped. Because as you said, you know, knock on wood, Wisconsin at this point has not had an H5N1 detection. California is up to about 400 now. And that's not a knock on them. It's just, you know, it's sometimes it's just the way things roll out. But the other thing, too, is we were pretty proactive in working with the industry. That's a credit to the industry for, you know, making sure that they were talking to us about it. Here's a few things that we wound up doing. Number one is from the very beginning when we saw the first cases of this down in Texas and Kansas. We communicated with the industry. We put out some additional biosecurity recommendations, told people if you're seeing something with your cows, test them. We want to know. And people tested. This was before there was any mandatory testing. The USDA has put some mandatory interstate testing in place, but we put some intrastate testing in place, again, to protect the herd, protect the farmers, and protect health. And that's testing before movement to fairs and exhibits. And there were thousands of tests that were happening because of that. So that's a good thing. People were getting their animals tested. And a few other things that we kind of keep our eyes on. One is the number of avian cases, because what some of our neighboring states have found out is they find it in birds first, and then they find out, oh, the birds got it from, you know, the strain from the dairy farms that were in the area. That's how they found it. Again, knock on wood, so far this year, Wisconsin has only had one case of I can't remember if it was commercial or backyard. I think it was a backyard flock in January. So that's a big gap. And again, knock on wood, and I hear the geese going over my house at night. They're still moving. But that's another sign that, you know, maybe we'll dodge a bullet from those wild birds bringing it here. And then, you know, now we're going to have to navigate this new federal requirement, the new mandatory testing for all states. And we're working through that. We got a lot of questions about what that looks like. Wisconsin is not in that first round of tests. And again, I'll just remind everybody, at this point, we have not had an H5N1 case in dairy cows, but we're going to keep working with our partners to try to stay ahead of it if we can.
You know, what you're alluding to is another element that I want to talk about. Again, Randy Romanski in studio with us. Those testing of dairy animals that move, testing now of milk tankers, milk silos at processing facilities to make sure we're ahead of it or knowing more about the virus. That's all in place, and it's all about protecting the consuming public. Some of the people that are in your agency never get any fanfare. Consumer protection, there's been a lot of stories, it seems, this year about food recalls, all kinds of recalls, many of which are not specific to Wisconsin, most definitely. But it does bear mentioning, because instead of criticizing the food system and, oh my gosh, look at all those food recalls, why not compliment the staff you've got on detections?
Thank you, Pam. I'm glad to hear you do that, and I'm glad to talk about this issue. We are so fortunate to have a dedicated group of public servants at DACAP to make sure that people food is healthy and people are safe. And there's so many things that are put in place. So we were just talking about dairy. One of the things I would say is we got this great thing called pasteurization. Pasteurization works. And so, you know, whatever, you know, could be happening out there, pasteurization works. Even in those cases of states that have H5N1, you pasteurize the milk, it's gone. It's going to be okay. So that's a tool. But what I would say is we have people who inspect dairy plants, dairy farms, processing meat, processing facilities. They're out there every day trying to make sure that food is healthy and safe. And you are correct. We've seen some media articles about recalls. There haven't been a lot specific to Wisconsin, but, you know, there are some that affect us. And what I would say to that is, you know, the good news, it was caught, you know, and it was often caught by an inspector, or, you know, in some cases it's the inspector working with the business and the company, and we work through it. I mean, at the end of the day, the goal for everybody in this equation, and that's the farmer, the processor, the inspector, and the consumer, and the business and the consumer, is the same. We all want a healthy and safe product, and there's a whole structure, a whole infrastructure that's out there to make sure that happens. And we're fortunate to have those folks on our team.
On that note, that good thing, we are going to conclude this conversation, conclude calendar year 2024. Again, like we said, the survey that was put out by Dr. Steve Deller, Dr. Jeff Hatichek, points to the $116+ billion industry that we so love called Wisconsin agriculture. Secretary of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection, Randy Romanski, recapping some of the action for you. Happy holidays. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, we can all get along.
I know, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like
it's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bond.
Coming up on the show, our friend and colleague Luke Mathers joins us at 10:33 to discuss the ranking of Christmas treats. We'll wrap up everything on our Christmas Eve show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing Holiday Edition.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
December moon is clear. It's a sign of a mild winter near. While farmers prepare for winter's impact on their operations, many are still keeping a close eye on the weather, knowing how crucial winter conditions are for soil health and early spring planting. It's a great time to chat with our agriculture meteorologist about how the weather during these colder months can really shape everything from crop planting to the survival of livestock in the months ahead. So it's time for our ag weather update with our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. So, Stu, have you heard of this saying before? What's on your radar for the winter ahead?
I've not heard that one to be exact, but yeah, we know if we get the colder weather, it should be here at this time. We'd really like to have a much better snow cover out on those hay crops and the winter grain crops to make sure they're all tucked in for the winter before the cold air really settles in. We've got quite a bit of frost in the ground right now, and that may have some issues. We'll certainly hear a lot more talk about that as winter really settles in. I mean, according to the solstice, has just settled in here last Saturday, but conditions aren't going to seem quite so wintry for our holiday period as a little more mild air is settling in. In fact, yesterday in southern half of Wisconsin, mid-30s were seen, but there was some snow, an inch or two here and there. I do have a report, Wild Rose in Washera County, 2.7 inches. Everybody else a little bit in the lighter side, but that activity's all behind us. The cool front's way off to our east and southeast from Ohio down to southern Illinois and Missouri. Nothing to talk about on the radar, even nearby. But today, there'll be a few more clouds around and still fairly mild air. Fog is going to play a little bigger factor in that forecast, especially overnight and into Christmas morning, and then on toward Wednesday night, early Thursday as well. Rain toward the end of the week, even later Thursday into Thursday night, may do a number on the snow cover we see as well. I'll have forecast details right after this.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
All business owners want the same thing, to make their business succeed. At Rural Mutual, they help that happen. As the third largest writer of commercial business in Wisconsin, they take the time to learn your business so they can properly protect you. Call your local agent today or visit ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I am being joined by Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. Alrighty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
Well, mild is kind of the name of the game, and I expect a mostly cloudy sky, maybe a little more sun in central and western Wisconsin today, but temps in the upper 20s and low 30s, with the northeast winds only about 5. More clouds, but fog expected overnight, and I expect the nighttime low in the low and mid 20s, with east winds becoming southeast at 5, fog tomorrow morning and a cloudy day, but temperatures in the low and mid 30s, with east winds at 5. Cloudy on Thursday. A warm front drawing up out of the south could lead to some rain by midday or afternoon, especially in the south. Pushes north after that. Mid and upper 30s on Thursday with southeast winds at 5. Very mild, that rain around for Friday. And in fact, temps may be in the 40s in southern Wisconsin on Friday.
Well, I'm okay with that. I'd rather have, I think, kind of those normal-ish, I should say, winter weather temps versus the below freezing. Hopefully yeah. You have a great holiday ahead, Stu.
All right, you too. Take care.
Once again, that is Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our ag weather update on a Tuesday. Happy Christmas Eve. Happy holidays, everybody. Stick around with us, though, because we're not quite done yet here on the Midwest Farm Report, because you never quite know what you're going to learn next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Young.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As voters turn to ballot initiatives to bypass extreme legislatures, legislatures are manipulating initiative rules to protect their partisan power. In 2024 alone, 10 reproductive rights measures qualified for the ballot, with only two failing. Not willing to let extreme agendas get overridden by those pesky voters, legislatures are trying to defang direct democracy by trying to raise constitutional amendment thresholds to 60% or higher and requiring minimum numbers of qualifying signatures from each county rather than a statewide percentage. To keep Ohio voters from passing abortion protections in 2023, the legislature proposed a 60% threshold using a low turnout August special election it had previously deemed too expensive to run. It lost, and abortion rights prevailed 4 months later. In 2024, the Ohio Secretary of State helped derail a citizen-led redistricting measure by rewriting its ballot description to mislead voters. The Ballot Initiative Strategy Center reports Arizonans voted down a measure requiring minimum signatures from every county and another allowing pre-election litigation on measures. North Dakota would have raised the signatures required and winning both a primary and general election. It, too, failed. Expect more such attacks on direct democracy in 2025. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, your claws are full, but that would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for
oh,
you.
Oh, the wow. worst.
You would talk like that.
Get this. Absolutely. Get this.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. And on the Civic Media app. From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A government panel on Monday failing to reach consensus on the possible national security risks of a nearly $15 billion proposed deal for Nippon Steel of Japan to buy U.S. steel. That leaves the decision up to President Biden, who has been a longtime opponent of the proposal. On this Christmas Eve, a winter storm moving into the Northeast, bringing ice and snow to several states. Here's ABC meteorologist Lee Goldberg.
Several inches of snow in upstate New York and into northern New England, maybe even up to a half foot of snow. That snow is right to the I-9. Corridor by the morning hours. I could see some coatings to maybe an inch all the way down to the coast. We are concerned about winter weather alerts in Philly and Baltimore and D.C. for a glaze of ice, so be super careful with your travel into the morning hours.
In Santa Cruz, California, a man died after he was trapped by a large wave beneath debris on a beach, that amid a major storm that's pummeling the West Coast. 12 people were killed, 4 injured in an explosion in an armament factory in northwest Turkey. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Sequels led the way at last weekend's domestic box office. Sonic the Hedgehog 3 led the way with $62 million and was followed up by Mufasa, the Lion King prequel, which finished with a disappointing $35 million at the U.S. box office, despite playing on 400 more screens than Sonic. Despite grabbing second place in the U.S., Mufasa was number one globally with a take of $122 million. Finishing in third place was the juggernaut Wicked, which pulled in $13.5 million at the box office, putting its grand total domestically at about $400
$100 million. Wicked leapfrogged Moana 2, which finished in fourth place with $13.1 million at the box office. The borderline religious film Homestead finished in fifth place with $6.6 million despite not-so-great reviews. The Brutalist, a three-and-a-half-hour film that actually has an intermission, opened in limited release and pulled in $266,000, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it was only on four screens. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers shut out the Saints. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was Green Bay over New Orleans at Lambeau Field 34-0. I asked safety Xavier McKinney what's been the difference in the Packers' defense.
Our disguise is fooling a lot of these quarterbacks, and especially somebody like him. He's a young quarterback. He hasn't seen a lot of things yet. He hasn't got a lot of experience. So, like, when we disguise him, man, they don't know what they're seeing.
The Saints now fall to 5-10. Quarterback Spencer Rattler after the loss.
Just embarrassing. Put it on myself. Played not good at all. Just didn't have any answers.
NBA, the Bucks over the Bulls, 112-91. Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard giving the night off. Bobby Portis with 19 points, 13 rebounds.
Obviously, Dame and Giannis out. I know the severity of the situation. Have to step up, and it's always next man up mentality. So I'm always a confident guy, but I know with those two, I'll have to, you know, shoulder just a little bit more.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the deceased actor Jimmy Stewart. Don't ask me how we got him. He's going to talk about his film, It's a Wonderful Life. And then Santa joins me to talk about his illustrious career.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A mix of clouds and sunshine today. We'll get to right around 30 for a high this afternoon, with a light northerly breeze becoming southwesterly late this afternoon. Tonight down to 16, tomorrow partly to mostly cloudy for Christmas Day. 32 on Thursday, cloudy afternoon showers with a high near 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
Wow.
I'm Charity Stebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane. On December 24th, 1847, Wisconsin Farmers united to form the state's first agricultural society. This group laid the foundation for sharing knowledge, innovation, and supporting agricultural progress, eventually leading to the creation of the Wisconsin State Fair. Fast forward to December 24th in 1940, when Wisconsin hosted its first winter dairy conference in Madison, giving farmers a platform to tackle challenges and share advancements during the off-season. Events like these have been instrumental in helping farmers adapt and succeed. Speaking of adapting and thriving in agriculture, auctions are another way farmers collaborate and innovate. Whether you're buying equipment, selling land, or planning ahead, the Steffes Group has become a trusted partner in agricultural auctions. Pam Yonke dives into how they're helping farmers across the Midwest succeed.
Got to move things around this week with Christmas happening tomorrow. It's a Tuesday, and that means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group, steffesgroup.com, a fantastic website to give you an awful lot of information if you're looking, awful lot of information if you're curious, awful lot of information if you're considering an auction of your own. And when it's time to talk to them, give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us, taking some time just before the holidays. You know, one thing we don't talk a lot about, Ashley, but is critically important. How many people work with the Steffes Group? I mean, your staff, you've been acquiring other auction systems in Canada most recently, also a little farther south. I mean, when you guys decide to give everybody the day off for Christmas, that's a lot of people these days.
Yeah, you know, we're knocking on the door at 200 employees, so that's quite a bit for us. You know, when I started, I was just one of two people that weren't family.
There's a lot of that in agriculture. There's a lot of that in agriculture. And like we said, tomorrow being Christmas, you guys do give your staff a chance to reflect, but not necessarily for real long.
Yeah, so we are closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And so if you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas, guess what? We're still having auctions on the 26th and 27th to take a look at. And, you know, you're just sitting around talking, want to look at some machinery. We got it on our website.
You know, the funny part, I shouldn't say funny because it's also irritating. I've got two members of the family that would love to just sit and scroll through steffesgroup.com and talk to each other about, hey, look at that. Did you see that? Wow, that's a nice one. You know what I mean? Instead of conversing with the family, they'd much rather be scrolling, looking at the equipment that's up for sale at steffesgroup.com.
Yeah, and there's just so much to look at, right? You know, and get a hold of that advanced search button. And, you know, then you can look at the sold lots to compare to what's coming up and different things. There's just a lot of information out there, and it's for free. So we want our buyers and sellers to be educated.
Well, and the other good thing, to the point of the holidays, now, this is the way it is in agriculture, folks. It's a good time when the kids are home from college or you're seeing family you haven't seen for a while. If there's a conversation that has to be had about, hey, what are we going to get to fix this, change this, I want to try this next year, Steffes Group can be part of that conversation while Christmas is unfolding.
Yeah, truly. And we get lots of calls all the time. You know, I need a 100, 150 horsepower tractor. What's going to be the best deal for, I only want to spend, you know, my budget is X, you know, and we kind of guide people through that and say, well, here's a couple different opportunities. See what you can get bought.
Yeah. And like we said, holiday or not, those are conversations that have to be had. Ashley Hewn along with us and all the Steffes Group wishing Merry Christmas for sure. And good weather the 26th and the 27th, so you can keep everything rolling, huh?
Absolutely. And we're actually doing a live auction on the 27th in Foley, Minnesota. So if you want to take a road trip, it's a moving auction. So there's everything on that side.
Oh, neat. All right. There you go. Entertainment to boot during the holiday season. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com or call them 800-726-8609. 800-726-8609. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas from the Steffes Group.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
End of the year savings and hot deals at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. All new in-stock Bobcat equipment and attachments are marked down and ready to get to work for you. Skid steers, mini excavators, compact tractors, snow removal equipment, and more. As always, full service and parts whenever you need it. End of the year savings and hot bargain Bobcat deals happening now at all Bobcat Plus Wisconsin locations. Visit a showroom in your area or bobcatplus.com. Bobcat, one tough animal.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker, glad to be with you this Tuesday morning. I hope your week is off to a great start, and by now you probably have your Christmas tree up. But have you ever thought about the art and science behind growing them? Producers have to predict which trees will be popular a decade before they're ready to harvest. Stephanie Hoff has more on that fascinating story.
Jacob Eichster of Eichster's Farm Market in Stoughton walks us through this process.
Well, that's what makes Christmas tree growing a very interesting and unique industry, because, you know, you just don't know. You know, like, who would have knew if you planted trees in the late 90s that fake trees would make a comeback? Like, I think it was the late 50s, early 60s, like the aluminum tree era was, that was all the rave, was having a aluminum tree, and not just in like the Jetsons kind of thing. That was an actual phase of demand, consumer demand. But you just don't know. And it's truly a huge, it's probably one of the larger gambling ag operations that you can do. In our case, we just had some extra space because we do like specialty produce primarily. And we thought Christmas trees would be a kind of a good way to fill in some of that extra space. But you don't know. That's the thing. So, you know, you can plant the varieties of trees, like Fraser fir is obviously probably the number one tree variety that people want. They're known for keeping their needles on, known for that really lush green, just beautiful tree shape, easier to prune, the gorgeous tree. But if, let's say in 10 years that no one wants to have a tree and everyone wants to have a plastic tree that never goes bad and you can save money in the long run, kind of cut the element of tradition of cutting a tree out, you just don't know. You know, you don't know what you're going to get down the line. In our case, you know, it seems as though the plastic tree seems to possibly be on the way out. As more people kind of flock to more family traditions post-COVID, we hope that continues to be the case. You know, if we can get people to enjoy, do more family activities together, do more family traditions during the holidays, I think that's always, throughout history, is always a good thing to do.
Advocating for tradition, but there's more benefits than just the family aspect. What are some of the other reasons that people should consider, if they haven't before, a real tree?
With the real trees, it's just, there's nothing like them. You know, like, it's just nothing more valued, you know, when you have a real tree in the home versus a plastic thing. I, for one, have been a sucker for the traditional stuff, like you were saying. But, you know, you get a plastic tree, they also don't last forever. You know, you pack them up wrong one time and, you know, you get a crimp in one of the branches or something, or you lose a branch or something breaks and you get thrown away a whole, you know, carload of plastic. With Christmas trees are renewable, I would always boot for a real tree.
And I had to ask Jacob Eichster if owning a Christmas tree farm is anything like a Hallmark movie. He says when it's been a good growing season, it is. Eichster's Farm Market is in Stoughton. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now let's shift gears and check out the morning markets to see how the week is shaping up. New crop corn is trading at 437 and a quarter with no change. New crop beans are trading at 990 and a half, up 3.5 cents. And new crop wheat is trading at 555 and three quarters, down 2.5 cents. January Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1963, down 8 cents. And February milk is trading at 1963, up 2 cents.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people in Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out?
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. This is Mr.
So, John, let's start with one thing that I think is on a lot of people's mind, you know, the holidays. So with the holidays being tomorrow, you know, they're starting for the next kind of week, depending on when you're celebrating with your family. But how are the markets acting going into this holiday trade?
Yeah, as we get into the holiday window, trade really thins out, and sometimes you can get some pretty erratic movements because if things start falling one way or another or climbing one way or another, you know, there's just not somebody to step in front of the other side. So, you know, so far we've seen that on Monday, a fairly quiet trade. Will likely be that way on Tuesday as well, you know, as we start working towards that holiday trading schedule. And, you know, at this time frame, like I said, a lot of people will step out of the markets in terms of some of the speculators and things of that nature as we even start getting closer to the end of the year here as well. So the markets usually get quiet around this time frame unless we've got some type of just really glaring news. And, you know, that really has been kind of out of the marketplace overall.
What is the trading schedule like then for the next couple of days with these holidays?
Sure. Just so people kind of get an idea of what we're looking at. Obviously, on Christmas Eve day, you know, here on Tuesday, we're only trading till noon today. Then the markets are closed. They will stay closed all the way through till Thursday morning at 8:30, and then the agricultural markets will open up again. So obviously, no night trade on both Tuesday and Wednesday night. Obviously, closed for the Christmas Day holiday. But then we'll have our full trading session back again starting on Thursday, and typical trade like we would see it into the end of the week. You know, with one Thursday night trade as well as full day trade on Friday. Again, we'll see some of this action again around the, obviously on the New Year holiday with a very similar type schedule.
And you mentioned things are kind of quiet usually around the holiday, but how do markets historically perform around Christmas and New Year's? Is there any trends or certain things that farmers should be watching for into the end of the year?
You know, that gets a little bit difficult sometimes. You know, when we get into the end of the year, sometimes it's just how the money wants to flow. So I kind of look at where markets are positioned right now. You know, in cattle and hogs, they're very, very long, those markets. So it wouldn't surprise me, you see some just end of the year squaring corn market. They got some length. Soybean markets are a little short, but they bought back quite a bit at the end of the week last week. You know, so that could be a bigger factor here too, is just the money flow in terms of how the market wants to settle itself out going into the year, what they do with those positions. So that'd be the biggest thing that's on our radar. Obviously, on the news front, we just keep watching what's going on with the demand side of the equation, and as well as that South American weather, because those are still things, and you know, the gap in there of those handful of days of trade that can still move the market if we see some swings.
And speaking of that, how is the South American crop progressing?
Yeah, and that was something that actually kind of popped up a little bit last week. You know, this market is anticipating an extremely large soybean supply coming out of South America in general, not just Brazil, but the combination of Argentina as well as Paraguay, Uruguay, you know, Bolivia, the main producing countries in terms of beans. Obviously, Brazil leads that by a mile in terms of production. But we saw a little bit of talk last week about Argentina possibly drying out, seeing a little bit drier forecast. Now temperatures are cool, which is going to help kind of suppress that dryness concern. But it was enough to get the soybean meal market to pop a little bit there on Thursday and Friday last week. Argentina produces 37% of the exportable soybean meal in the world. And if we do have a little bit tighter crop, or maybe that crop's not as good, you know, that meal market was so oversold and depressed that it had some room to bounce. Now we'll see how the forecasts go forward. You're still seeing some shower activity and again, those cooler temperatures. But things are looking a little bit maybe of a drier trend. That might be something we need to watch. Otherwise, unfortunately, that Brazil crop continues to look strong. We keep seeing analysts bump those estimates up. Maybe even hearing some numbers around that 180 million metric ton mark. So it's going to be a monster crop coming out of Brazil. And obviously, U.S. prices versus Brazilian prices as we move into the fall, or excuse me, into the spring when they start harvest are not competitive yet for those U.S. beans.
And now transitioning to the cattle side of things, can you give us an overview of the latest cattle on feed report that came out on Friday? What really stood out to you?
Yeah, cattle on feed report was actually fairly quiet in terms of its numbers, right in line with expectations, 99.9% in terms of cattle numbers from last year, so right in line with that. The placements were down. That was an impact from that Mexican import ban on those feeder cattle, which that should be coming off hopefully early here in 2025. I know the USDA and the Mexican government are working on getting a testing process put in place that could alleviate, you know, take a little pressure off that cash cattle market for feeders. You know, so the report was pretty much where we thought it was be. Now we shift back to what the biggest focus market is. Cash trade was steady to slightly higher last week. The trend is cash trade could soften as we move into 2025 just because of the demand kind of drying up in here, watching the retail carcasses very well. This is still a market that's got a lot of value in it, but right now it could be a window here. Maybe we see some value come out of this market in general, even though those cattle supplies on the long term are still extremely tight.
And now looking ahead into the new year, what are some of the expected trends for commodity markets in 2025 that you're keeping an eye on that we also should be?
You know, in general, the biggest thing we're going to watch on the grain side, what happens with the demand side of the equation for corn. You know, we got the January report. That'll be our final production numbers. We'll get some maybe some more adjustments on the demand side. Corn demand continues to be very, very strong. It's been supporting this market since the August lows. The U.S. is still going to be probably the main game in town in terms of the export side, at least until we get those Brazilian and Argentina corn bushels later in the spring or into the early summer. So that'll be something we'll need to watch there. But the problem problem is there's still a point we get too expensive, so we'll have to keep an eye on that. Obviously, soybeans, does the demand dry up? That'll be the biggest focus of the marketplace going forward. Cattle side, too. What's happening with the cash market? What's happening with the consumer? You know, if the consumer is starting to feel the pinch post-holidays, some of that beef demand drops off. You know, this cattle market's got a lot of air underneath of it if it doesn't hold these levels that we're trading at today. So I'm a little cautious about that going forward. So those will be the biggest trends to me. It's going to be about the consumer and demand in terms of the cattle side and the hog side. And with grains, it's going to be about that international demand and do the buyers stay active in the marketplace going forward.
Once again, that's John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing from West Bend, joining us. You can reach him at totalfarmmarketing.com or at 800-334-9779. Thanks for sticking around with me on this Tuesday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Charity Seebecker. Have a great day, everybody.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Some tax changes are coming that will affect farms and farm families. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Some key provisions of two pieces of federal legislation, the American Rescue Plan Act and the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, will expire at the end of this year. A Farm Foundation webinar discussed the implications. One participant was Tia McDonald, a research ag economist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
So the biggest aggregate impact on tax liabilities comes from the combined effect of expiring tax rates, while removing the state and local tax cap, reducing the standard deduction while reinstating the personal exemption. So we combine these together because they're so interrelated.
Ken Bacchus with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association says potential changes in estate tax policy could hurt farming's next generation.
The last thing we need is a tax policy that incentivizes further consolidation in farm and ranch operations and that discourages the next generation from producing. So that's one of the reasons why this is such a big issue for us.
Bacchus says the NCBA surveyed 1,200 cattle producers across the country about the tax situation.
And I think that's important that we in agriculture continue to put that face, that human element, on the letters and numbers of very complex tax code.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.